you start thinking, and it's really what this is all about, and you would like to have more time for dialogue. Certainly, I hope to see all of you at the Public Health Nursing Luncheon, and maybe you can find a table to sit and continue the conversation there. Right now, I'd like to welcome Dr. Barbara Little. She's from the University of Florida's College of Nursing and has a presentation, Without Borders or Walls, Developing Online Master's Education for Public Health Nurses.
Thank you.
And Dr. Sandra Schoenfisch is here with me also, and she's passing out some handouts, and she is our Director of Nursing for the state of Florida. And we've had a really nice partnership, and I wanted to recognize her, and she'll have a few words of wisdom for you as well. Okay, I'll try. My voice is a little softer, so raise your hand if you can't hear you. Okay, is that better? Not a lot. We'll wait till she gets in. Okay, how's this? A little better? Okay, great. Thanks. Okay, so no disclosures except that we are a HRSA-funded grant for our program, our Master's in Public Health Nursing program. So what I really wanted to do today was to kind of talk a little bit about how we founded our curriculum on these competencies and the interventions, and the intervention wheel, and talk about some of the partnerships that we've developed in helping us grow our master's program, and also ways that we've recruited students. So I thought I'd give you a little bit of background about the University of Florida. We are the seventh largest in the nation, which was a surprise to me. We have over 50,000 students. In the College of Nursing, we have 700 undergraduate students. And then we have 230 graduate nursing students. And we have master's programs. We have the accelerated track programs for the second degree students. DNP students and PhD students. So we have that full gamut. We are a Research One university, so we're very heavily focused on research. But our DNP program is probably the program that's really taking off the most right now. And our program is the only public health nursing program, master's program in Florida in a public university. Okay, so I thought we should first talk about what do you think of when you think about Florida. So what I want you to do is you've been sitting a long time. So just stand up for a minute and turn to someone behind you or in front of you and think of three things that you think of when you think of Florida. Okay, if you'd sit back down, thank you.
There's your hard part, to be able to sit back down.
Yeah. But it's kind of an interesting. Okay, so let's hear some of the things that you came up with. You want to just give me one? Voting. Okay, we have to go down in history on that one, okay? Beaches, oranges, alligators. Space Center,
hurricanes,
senior citizens, okay, sunshine and cruise ships. We have all of those. Disneyland, okay, good, all right. So I thought you were right on the things I thought you would think of. Disneyland, very nice resorts, lots of people like to vacation and retire in Florida. And I live in Sarasota, and the university is actually in Gainesville. But Sarasota is very similar to San Diego as far as having the beaches and just a very nice cultural city. So I would welcome you to visit us there. We have the beaches, and these are my two granddaughters who are just gorgeous and live in Sarasota. But we also have a lot of water, and I'm really interested in APHA's theme for next year on water. I think there's a lot of issues that are going to be affecting us in Florida and nationally and throughout the world. Actually, my students, the common read for UF this year is when the rivers run dry. So we are looking at those issues in Florida, but we do have lovely places with lots of water. So these are some of the spring-fed rivers that we have. And it's really fun to go canoeing down those rivers. And sometimes when you go canoeing down those rivers, you will find the alligators. And sometimes you'll find these kind of gators, okay? So U.S. logo or motto or mascot is the gators. And, of course, you know we have the hurricanes there. But we are also are really leaders, I think, in disaster response. And Dr. Schoenfisch's office is a big leader in that as far as public health nursing involvement in that. But the other part of Florida is that we are the fourth largest state in the nation. 41% of our population is minorities. We have a lot of health disparities throughout the South, and especially in Florida. We are 49th in AIDS cases, 31 in infant mortality, 34th in the median income level. So we have the very wealthy, but we have the very poor as well. And we are the fourth highest home in state in home foreclosures. It's a really big issue in Florida now. So that if you want to buy a home in Florida, this is the time to do it. But we're also really being affected by budget cuts. We don't have a state income tax. We depend on tourism and property taxes. Those have been big issues in Florida. And it is starting to really impact our service delivery. It's, the budgets are getting tighter and tighter, both in the public health system but also in the university system. So public health nursing in Florida, we have one state health office of public health nursing, and that's Dr. Sanders Schoenfisch is the head of that. We have 67 counties, and each county is designated as having some medically underserved areas in it. Our public health nurses have probably about half of them have a bachelor's degree and about half don't. So that's a challenge for when we're trying to recruit into a master's program. We have to get them into the bachelor's program first. And about this should be 30% of our leaders in the leadership roles in nursing have a master's degree. I think the good news about this, though, is that we have a lot of nurses who are moving into administration positions in health departments. So they may not be in a nursing position. Now they're the director of the health department. So we see a lot of nurses really moving up the career ladder and having real leadership roles in public health in Florida. But we do have an aging workforce, and so that is a challenge to us as we are looking at succession planning and also as we're trying to get more nurses to get their master's degree. If they're looking at retirement, and they think it's going to be soon, but a lot of them are postponing that. Okay, so given all of that, the University of Florida wanted to develop a master's in public health nursing program. We have a very strong cadre of public health nursing faculty, and some of them were here doing other presentations for the conference. And many of you know Dr. Nancy Tiger, who really helped get this grant up and running, and this will be her last year with us. She's going to retire. But they really started by really partnering with our local county health department and with the state health department and our nursing associations in Florida, so that it wasn't just coming from academia, but that it was really an academic practice partnership, so that we had everyone at the table of talking about what do we need to do to advance the level of education for our public health nurses. We did base the curriculum on the Quad Council competencies and the intervention wheel. We have a course titled with each of those. So we have the competencies course, we have the intervention course, and we have a multidisciplinary approach with our College of Public Health. It is primarily online, but we do ask the students to come to the campus about once a semester for those two courses that I just mentioned, for like a weekend or a two-day seminar, and the evaluations from the students have been very positive. They felt that that was very worthwhile for them to do that. And we also use Illuminate Live, which is similar to several other products that are out there, where we meet on the internet, and so they can see the PowerPoint. We all have headsets and talk to each other over the internet, and they really enjoy those sessions. And like Sandra has been one of our guest speakers in that class, so you know they're being able to be exposed to speakers that they wouldn't otherwise be exposed to. This is the curriculum. We have the core master's courses. We have the two courses I talked about for public health nursing, and then we have three clinicals, two clinicals and a practicum. And then we had four courses from public health, epidemiology, of course, and environmental health, And then we have an assessment and surveillance course and a program planning course. But those two courses have been a challenge because our College of Public Health didn't offer those online. So we started teaching those online so the students could access them. But the good news is now we're partnering with other colleges of public health in the state, the University of South Florida in particular, and they have similar courses online and very extensive list of courses that our students will be able to take as electives. So it's kind of, you know, that challenge has helped us kind of reach out to, I mean, really develop other opportunities and partnerships. So that's been really helpful. And so I want to spend a few minutes on recruitment because I know some of you have that challenge of how do we, you know, get the students in the program? How do we deal with our low numbers? You know, we're looked at low on the totem pole because the nurse practitioner program, you know, is turning away students and we're like going out there beating the bushes for them. But some of the things that have been helpful to us, I think, is that we've had a faculty member, and that's myself, who has been responsible for a lot of the recruitment. Not that I couldn't use more of an academic advisor, marketing person, and I do have a marketing person who helps me, but I think it could be done more as a team effort. I don't think I have to do all of it, but I have been doing all of it. And we worked really closely with the Florida Department of Health, and I'll tell you more about that. But one of the first things I did was develop a database. So, okay, so I go out and I do presentations, and then I get students or prospective students to sign in, and I, if they're interested, then I'll follow up with them. So I send them emails. I send, you know, we haven't done mailings, but we've talked about that, but I have called them and done follow-up phone calls. And the emails have helped because I give them, you know, it's kind of a blanket email, and I try and personalize it to them, but it gives them more information with the links on, okay, this is where you can go for financial aid. We have a very nice loan repayment program through the Florida Department of Health, so I'm able to tell them about that resource. We do have some tuition reimbursement programs through the Florida Department of Health. So the nurses who work for the Department of Health have pretty good tuition assistance. It's the nurses who work for the school district that it's more of a challenge. You know, the hospital nurses usually have reimbursement programs, but the school nurses have been really a challenge for us as far as helping them get financial assistance. I have done information sessions where I have gone to, I started with the larger health departments in our state to go on site and do like an hour long presentation. Of course, I went to the Department of Health in Tallahassee and did a presentation there. And again, giving them an overview of the program, letting them meet the faculty, know more about what types of courses that we offer. And then I tried doing it online. And so I used Illuminate, and I've done that twice. And I got over 25 people on the first session and about, I think, 8 or 9 on the second one. So I was really pleased with that because I didn't have to travel anywhere. I got people from all over the state, and some of them were had several people in the room with them, so they were able to do that. Because we've really been promoting, you know, do this with a friend, you know. It makes it a lot easier, and the whole idea of having a cohort program, I think, is helping us as well. We've really reached out and done presentations at every public health conference that we could in Florida. So at the school nurse conferences, we have two of those actually. I've been either making presentations or being there with a vendor table. At the public health nurse leaders conference, I did a presentation. We went to the infection control nurses conference and had a table there because we have several of those types of nurses. So that might be another, you know, specialty to look at. It is population, and it has some population health components to it. And then we've also, you know, written articles and placed ads. So we really looked at, you know, where are the nurses, where are they going so that we can go and be with them, and then also what are they reading and how can we reach them. So this is a map of Florida, and the green counties represent where we have students from. The first year of the grant, we had 3 students. The second year, we had 3 students, and then we got 15 this year. So last year's, you know, big push, I came in the second year, has really made a difference as far as getting the word out there and getting students into the program. So we have six who came from the University of Florida. So four of them were our former graduates. So they had really good community health experiences on the undergraduate level. We have a very strong faculty member and that who teaches that program, Joan Castleman. And I think she has really mentored several of them and encouraged them to come on into the program. And then we had two that were working for the University of Florida and came in. And I think they really came in because they didn't want to be a nurse practitioner. They wanted a master's degree, and so we were the other program. But they have really contributed to the program. We have four from health departments. We have one, and now we have two hospital, because we already had one, so we have another one now, from who's an infection control nurse in a hospital. One from the state level, from the Florida Department of Health, one from hospice, one school nurse, and one from Children's Medical Services. So we were really... Which is part of the, yes, it is, yes. So that, I should put those together. But you can see they come from a lot of different types of work settings and geographically from urban settings to rural settings. So I'm going to let Sandra talk a little bit about how we've partnered together.
Barbara's been really great to work with, and this has been a terrific opportunity for us. It's been a real challenge to try to move the nurses to go on for other degrees once they're working and so forth. So this has been a real plus. And I know it may seem like a small thing, but the fact that six of those are our DOH nurses really made us feel good because we didn't have anybody initially. So we're really excited about that. One thing Barbara hasn't mentioned that was really helpful is a barrier that a lot of our nurses face when they go back to school is they have this horrible fear of the GRE. All right, and it just takes all kinds of counseling and emotional support and, you know, groups. And UF has offered some GRE prep that's helped, and we found ways to get people to go to the GRE, to, you know, give them prep courses and get them in. And then the other thing we do, as soon as somebody takes it and survives and they don't die as a result of it, we announce these things and we make sure they know that it's actually happened and it wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to be. So it's really been great to work together. Barbara and Dr. Tiger and a number of the faculty have really worked with us as colleagues. Not there was doing away with the barriers that we had, the practice setting versus the academic setting. So that's been really good. We looked at different ways we could get to our leaders. We have, in my office, has really worked for the last 3 years trying to improve our communication from the state level with the local. So these monthly conference calls are a big deal, having them a part of it. We've shifted from our side in the department to using WebEx and live meeting and those kinds of things to get them used to technology. So that's helped with those sorts of things. And just promote, seeing how these things benefit them. So putting the information on the websites, having Barbara at the meetings, having the opportunity, we have regional meetings. So any place we can get to our folks, we've tried to get them interested. I'm also very proud to say that we have the first graduate. The first graduate of the master's program is on staff in a registered nurse consultant position in our office at the state level. And she has been just a breath of fresh air. She's come in and she's so grounded and her theoretical framework and her research expertise and so forth. She's just been terrific to work with. So I guess the only comment I'd make is that if you can look at it, how you can make it a win-win situation. The other thing, and you haven't mentioned this, is that participating in the Illuminate, the online courses, the folks actually love it. One of my assistant directors just did that recently, and she's just so excited about having been a part of teaching that course that we have other people who are saying, well, can I participate, you know, how can I get involved and so forth. So that works really well, too. And we have some really good leaders in the field that have potential, too, that are master's prepared and doctoral prepared folks that are out there. So I think that's the comments I have, okay?
Okay, so the challenges and opportunities then. Startup time, it did take a year to really get things rolling, but we're past that now and we're really rolling, so we're excited about that. I mentioned offering all the courses online was a challenge, and we are really addressing that well, I think, with our partnerships. helping motivate the nurses who have an associate degree and helping them get access to those resources. And Sandra just told me about some that she has from on her website so that I can direct, because I'm out doing recruitment, and some of the nurses have an associate degree, so I want to be able to point them, to the next step, and then they can come to me. So I think we'll be partnering and strengthening that linkage over the next year. Sandra mentioned the GRE, the financial assistance I've talked about, and just the whole Florida economy is, and the national economy is a challenge. Thank you. So the results are, we've had, really increased our enrollment, so we're very pleased with that. The partnership with the State Department of Health and with the local health departments has really taken off, and thank you for, really talking about how the faculty, how we've had guest faculty speak in the classes, because that's helped the students get to know them. We've also taken our students to their public health nursing leadership conference. That's, I think, how our one student got an internship, and she ended up getting a paid internship in the state health office, and then was employed there. So she is our poster child, Sarah Wilson. And I think, at this point, we're just trying to continue building on what we've done and to continue to increase enrollment. I think, having a real focus on recruitment, and I know that's a challenge when you don't have a faculty member who is really has time to do that. Because, that second year, I really did spend about 50% of my time on recruitment. So it does take a lot of work in order to get these kind of numbers. But we're hoping that we'll be able to start leveling off and have a recruitment and marketing plan that will kind of, keep it sustaining. So at this point, I would want to take questions. Yes. Yes, we have a statewide system, and so they do. They have the same at the county and the state level. So they all have tuition reimbursement. They can take up to 6 hours a semester.
We actually have three things. Within the department, we have a tuition we can pay for it out of our own funds, both local funds and state funds. We also have a tuition waiver that allows you to take 6 credits per semester. And we also have a nurse an educational leave with pay program that after you work for the department for 2 years, you can get educational leave with pay to participate. And we also have a nurse student loan forgiveness program. And last year we gave out about $1 million for students to pay their loans.
So really, there's no excuse, right? But, there are other expenses, especially books, and there are some travel expenses. And then I think some of the ones who are employed are worried about the clinicals and how do they do that when they're working. But we're going to work, with them and helping to expand their horizons on that. Yes. Okay. What we do is our college has an on-campus orientation program, and so I just tapped on to that. They do have someone who does a little bit on Blackboard, which is what we use, and then in the afternoon I did an orientation specific to our students. But they wanted more on the online learning, and so that's something that we plan on adding is more hands-on, in a computer lab, and that is a real challenge, and especially because they come in with different levels of expertise. Our undergraduate students, no problem, they don't even need that, they know how to do literature searches as well, because we have the librarian come the first day too. But the ones who've been out of school for a long time, some of them, they don't know how to even do Windows, so it's a challenge.
So the students have to come to the campus?
The students come to campus for orientation, and for the two courses that we have, they come one time during that semester. Yes. Yes, they will. They'll be able to do their clinicals in their local community, is what we've said. We want them to, they can do some in their local agency, but we want them to be working at the next higher level. And we're really encouraging them to go to different areas and, go beyond their borders. I'm really concerned about the ones who are in the small rural counties. They have got to get out of that county a little bit. But I think, you know, some of them will be able to go to Tallahassee. And we're going to work with AHEC this year, the Area Health Education Center, because they also, you know, help with recruitment and clinical training. So we want to partner with them and see what we can do together. Sue?
I just wanted to speak to the GRE component, because I think everybody's had that with students freaking out about it. And Rush, about 6 years ago, based on our data, we do pretty extensive academic evaluation, I should say. And based on the data from the previous 5 years, we had found that anyone who came in with a GPA of 3.2 and above, it was equally predictive of success in our graduate programs. So we dropped the GRE for anyone who comes in with a 3.2 or above, and it has had absolutely no effect on success rates. We have the same amount of students. And it really motivates the students. The undergrads who are thinking of grad school to keep their GPA up, and the students to say, you don't have to take it. It's, you know, the problem is, of course, you know, folks who went to school 20 years ago had a really good time
in GPA. Right. I think that's really the trend. We see that, and we actually looked at the top 10 schools in the nation and what they're doing, and about four of them are doing just that. Four of them have dropped it altogether, and the other four are still requiring it. So that's where the boat we're in. And Phil?
Just to piggyback on that, our graduate program director 2 years ago did a nationwide review of requirements, and we dropped our GRE as a result of that.
Now, we do need y'all to publish this. There is one article that came out in December of last year that they found a correlation of, I think, 3.2 to the GRE scores. So, you know, we need that kind of data to move it forward in our administration. Yes. 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 That really helps to, you know, make sure that your Blackboard course or whatever, you know, software you're using has those direct links. And that's actually, some of you are looking at Quality Matters. That's one of their standards for online courses, is that. Yes. Those are more common. Yes. Okay, we are getting ready to apply for a continuation grant, and our plan is to, in the first 2 years, to plan that transition. Also, these 15 students will be graduating in 2 years, and all of them have expressed interest in either the DNP or the PhD. So what we want to do is be ready to transition them right into those programs. So that's our plan, is to get ready for that. At this point in Florida, we want to keep the master's program and then have the postmaster's DNP for this track. Our other tracks at the University of Florida are moving to a four-year DNP. They do have a master's stop out, which they don't want to really promote, but that's their plan. Yes, Chris. We have about six public health nursing faculty, and they're all involved in the program, some in smaller ways and some in bigger ways, but they all are really help and advise, and they're there whenever I have, you know, need support. Well, you know, the teaching component of it is really not that heavy. This grant, we're going to put in two full-time faculty is what we're looking at. But part of that is the recruitment. Mm-hmm. Yes. It is online, but I think they are requiring some on-campus meetings, and they're trying to kind of clarify what that was, because right now it kind of varies from course to course from the faculty member wants. And they're looking at, you know, can we have like a certain, you know, once a semester. I mean, a lot of other programs are doing that, where they have their plan for once a semester or 1 week in the summer. But we feel as a faculty that we really want the students to come to campus and have some more direct interaction with the faculty and with their peers. Okay. One more question? They're ready for lunch.
All
thank
right.
you very
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. All right, Rex. Thank you.
I'm good. How are you? I was going to see if I turn that off. What are you up to? What are you doing?
Well, stay busy.
Yeah, we're at the same place. Okay. I saw Sarah walk in, but I didn't see you walk in.
Well, I was here when you came in, so I was sitting there. I just kept looking at you, but I didn't know.
I didn't see you. Oh, gosh. Are you going to lunch?
No, I've got a school thing I'm wanting to go to. Okay. It's something I think feel like I need to go to. So.
Yeah.
But it's good to see you again.
Well, good to see you.
I'll be back
and everything. Hi, when you come up and talk to me. Oh, thank you.